Today's broadcast is brought to you by Savad Business Solutions. Their passion is in the process. Now, let's get to it. Technology is changing the world, as are the innovators and the entrepreneurs making it happen. Go behind the velvet rope, see how these people think, and understand the mindset of today's game changers. Welcome to The Incubator.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Incubator. I'm your host, Todd Schnick. You know, I've talked to a lot of, quote, consultants over the years, and I've had some very interesting conversations, and I've had some pretty boring conversations. I got a feeling my conversation today with today's guest is going to be a very interesting one. We're going to talk about some very important stuff with regards to small business and entrepreneurship. I got a feeling this gentleman's got a take on things that's going to be really interesting and helpful to you, my beloved audience. So say hello to my guest. His name is Rick Meekins. He's a managing consultant with Epiphany Business Consultants. Rick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Todd. Thank you for having me. Wow, you set the bar high there.
Hey, that's what we're all about here at The Incubator. Rick, you know, we have an aggressive agenda on some things that we want to discuss this morning. But before we do that, very quickly, tell us a little bit about you and your background, and then give us a 10,000-foot view of Epiphany, what it's all about.
I've been, I've worked with small businesses for about 20 years. I've got a strong entrepreneurial background. I started my first business, quote-unquote business, when I was about 14, 15 years old, had a computer dating service, believe it or not, back in my high school. I had a lot of fun with that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that. It was, I think I got the bug at that point, because after that, you know, it was always, you know, dabbling here, dabbling there, and different kinds of things. I went to, you know, I did the whole college thing, where you go for a couple of years and then you have way too much fun and you have to leave. And then, began a career in culinary arts, and started a couple of catering companies and restaurants and that sort of thing. But I went back and got my bachelor's degree at Moravian College in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Then later pursued my MBA at Northeastern in Boston, Massachusetts. Where I really decided to get into consulting was when, after running a rather busy restaurant for quite some time, I found that the operational component was really weak there. So I decided to really build I wanted to build a practice around strengthening small business operations, so that we could, you know, really focus on overcoming some of the challenges that I have faced in my business.
Rick, you know, you said something there that I want to actually focus in on, because I think it's critical. I worry about this situation. When you read about or hear about successful business people or successful entrepreneurs, they always start their story by saying, well, I made $10,000 a week as an 8-year-old selling lemonade and bubble gum. And it seems to me that all the kids I hung out with when I was a child, they were not entrepreneurial. They were just doing the normal things that kids do, me included. And my biggest regret was that I didn't do more entrepreneurial kind of things as a kid. I mean, how important is that to the success of a business person? I mean, I've achieved business success, but I think it took longer in my life because I didn't have that ground into my soul as a young kid. I mean, have you noticed that? I mean, is the more successful entrepreneur someone who's had that gene, had that in their DNA since birth?
I think so. I mean, it tends to shape your thinking. I mean, if you're always, you know, out there looking for an opportunity to do something, I mean, I think that, you know, for some entrepreneurs that, you know, start out very young, it's more about, you know, being able to do things successfully, being able to, you know, see a challenge out there and say, hey, you know what, I can make something to fix that. You know, that's part of the brain. And then the other side of that is those that say, hey, you know what, I see where I can make a lot of money, you know, I can make some decent money doing that. And it really starts out, you know, very, very young, just like you would see an athlete, you know, a great basketball player, a great football player is going to start out when he or she is very, very young, and then just continue to develop that and get better at it over time.
Rick, I noticed also in hearing your story that it seems your current path, your current trajectory was turned when you had a realization of a weakness in the operational side of your business. And like you, I've worked with and observed an awful lot of small business people. And heck, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, I look at myself in the mirror and I worry that not only myself, but a lot of small business people I interact with, they are very, very poor at executing on the fundamentals of a successful business operation. Talk about what's happening there, why that is such a problem, and what are the biggest mistakes that small business people are making when it comes to operations?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, whenever, you know, typically when you start a business, especially as someone that is less experienced, I mean, your goal is to get product to market and make money doing that, you know, so that becomes tends to be your major focus. As the business gets more complicated, you know, some of these things start to get out of control. Your processes, you know, you need to, you know, probably refine them at some point, but that's again, you know, if you're growing, you're not necessarily thinking in terms of that, you know, looking at your finances, you know, yes, we do bookkeeping, but, you know, being able to really leverage the money that you're bringing in to get the most out of it, I mean, that's not necessarily top of mind, you know, when you're growing a small business. Same with your employees. You know, you're typically grabbing either the intern or the lowest priced person and not thinking strategically, you know, how can I bring in the best person for the organization for where we are right now? You know, so, you know, looking at things from all perspectives, even your products, you know, products. You know, when we go into the marketplace, you know, we typically go in with a particular product or a particular offering. But what happens 9 times out of 10 is, you know, as we're in the marketplace, our customer base really needs to help shape what that product is going to look like, what it's ultimately going to be, because it is ultimately for them. And we want to get the greatest revenue out of them. And, you know, again, you know, with more of a heads down approach, which we often have, you know, again, just producing, we don't always take the time to really refine those important but non-urgent issues that pop up in the business, and those, you know, basically define the operational parts of the business.
What's the first step someone has to take if they want to get a handle on this? Let's just assume they had the same epiphany, no pun intended, that you did, and that you were weak there, made the decision, all right, I've got to turn this around and get a handle on it. What's the first step you have to take?
Well, they'll see immediately. I know that I saw immediately is that I can't spend 100% of my time, you know, just producing. Because when I'm producing, again, it's that heads down approach. I'm working in the business. I'm self-employed. What you have to do is you have to think in terms of, you know, how can I, you know, extract myself from, you know, some of these things, some of these non-critical activities that are in the business, because you've got to have time. If you sit down and you make a list of everything that you need to do and you find that you still have no time to do it, you're still not going to get it done, even though you might be a little bit smarter about doing it. So, you know, being able to, you know, really commit to, you know, stepping out of the business and then, you know, determining where you are in the company, in the company's growth cycle, and what's going to be most important to begin to manage. In my thinking, I always say, okay, what we need to do is we need to ensure that our financial management processes are in place. Make sure that we're got a system in place, because if we have no finance, we basically have no business. So if we can figure out, you know, system, you know, how we can manage cash flow, how we can leverage the cash, you know, if there are sources of cash that we haven't tapped into, where can we get that, and what can we do to help grow the business? And well, from there, we're going to just somewhat naturally move through refining processes and developing that. Develop that strategy and then develop the processes that will help us implement that strategy.
Well, I hate to utter the typical cliches here, but they're very apropos, and that is, you know, it's too many cases of a small business owner working in the business versus on the business, and then there's the other situation where that small business owner is wearing all the hats and they're running around with their head cut off and they don't have time to step back and look at the business from a different perspective and do the serious thinking that is required to focus on things like managing growth and doing that strategic thinking. I mean, I think it's fair to say that a majority of small business owners out there are not doing any serious strategic thinking. They may think they are, but they're really, really not. I mean, they're just executing on what they understand is their deliverable to the marketplace. I mean, talk about how you can talk about the importance of strategic thinking in terms of how it, to your point of establishing business processes, which are so critical and so vital, and thinking about how you go from A to B in terms of a growth plan.
You know, that's a really great point. And I think, you know, to even extend on that, I mean, there are some personality types that just aren't management types. You know, they are sellers. They get out and they do what they do every day, which is great. And I'm not suggesting that they are, you know, weaker or stronger than, you know, any other business, any other personality type. My thinking around that is that, you know, at some point, you know, in lieu of going out and hiring an operational person, I mean, you've really got to think in terms of, you know, where you can get the information that you need, be it, you know, hiring a consultant, working with SCORE, working with the Small Business Development Center, you know, seeing if you can develop some sort of advisory board, you know, getting a second pair of eyes or a group of people to provide additional insight into your businesses is really, I mean, you know, again, cliche wise, it's really going to give you an epiphany about, you know, where your business could potentially be, you know, rather than, you know, taking that tunnel vision, taking that, you know, working in the business approach.
All right. Rick Meekins will return after this short commercial break.
Wondering if technology can help you run your business better? To help you better manage your data? To make more informed, more strategic, and faster business decisions? Say hello to Savad Business Solutions. We don't rest until we identify and put into place customized solutions to remove the bottlenecks from your organization, making you better, faster, and more effective. Learn more at SavadSolutions.com. That's S-I-V-A-D Solutions.com.
Back with Rick Meekins, a managing consultant with Epiphany Business Consultants. Rick, you know, I want to talk now a little bit about innovation. One of the things that you do out of your firm is to help organizations become more innovative. I think it's a tricky position to come at in the marketplace, because if I'm a small business owner, I say to myself, okay, well, I want to become more innovative, because that's what all the books are saying, that's what all the business guys on the podcast are saying, is you got to be more innovative. And I worry that a lot of people don't really understand what that really is. I learned this lesson a very interesting way. I was talking to someone and I had come up with an idea. I was being a creative here, and I thought up of something that I thought was really interesting, different, unique. And I went to a guy and said, what do you think of this? Is this innovative? And he said, well, I don't know. Does it work? Well, see, I was thinking, and I think this is where I'm the gist of my question is, I think a lot of people think creativity is innovation, but it's only innovative if the thing actually achieves its desired goal. Talk about how you work with an organization to become, quote, more innovative.
Yeah. Innovation is a, I guess it's a left brain, right brain type of approach. It's, as you said, I mean, it's not just a creative, it's not just, you know, writing down a bunch of ideas and, you know, seeing what will work. It truly needs to be a process that is regimented in the organization. If you look at larger organizations that, you know, really think in terms of, you know, how can we take what we have and make it better? How can we create something that's going to be disruptive in the marketplace? They specifically set up an environment for innovation, inviting people to, you know, start the fires, if you will, you know, bring different ideas, bring different concepts, you know, even developing, you know, certain ideas to see, you know, where certain things can go. And the alternative of that is would be an organization where all the ideas need to come from the top, you know, the business owner needs to come up with all the ideas, and all the other ideas are kind of pushed down. So it's an ecosystem or an environment of innovation that has to be created. Now, and it can't just stop with the idea phase. It's got to say, you know, within our strategic plan, within the organization, within the way that the organization is headed, you know, how can this idea further that, further our, you know, company mission, or help us move towards our strategic plan for the company. So the innovation isn't just an idea, but it's got to help move things forward. And then, you know, we've got to go through a series of tests, a series of development to see if it can actually function. You know, and it's not just product development. You know, it may be the way that we go to market. It may be the way that, you know, we serve our customers. It may be, you know, the way that support is handled. So, you know, we want to look at innovation, you know, not just, you know, from a single, you know, how we can get our product to market that's better than anybody else. But we need to look at the entire business, the entire organization, see, you know, where can we innovate? Where can we create strategic advantage for our company?
Rick, I want to poke at that a little bit. I you said something that really kind of struck me as interesting, and I think it's another roadblock for a small business guy who wants to be, quote, more innovative. And we're talking about innovation here. We're talking about creativity. We're talking about disrupting markets. But then in that same conversation, you used two words that I thought was very interesting and I think are very important here, and process, and it still has to be very regimented. Now, you wouldn't think a creative endeavor like trying to be innovative is something that's necessarily process-oriented and regimented, but it sounds like what you're saying is, look, to foster an environment where you're empowering your people to be innovative, to become innovative, there has to still be processes in place. There still has to be a regimented structure. There still has to be all the exercise of strategic thinking and planning and operations, that once that foundation is laid, only then can an organization even begin to empower itself to be innovative. Because if you're meandering aimlessly, it's hard to be innovative. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You'll have a million ideas. You know, ideas are going to be a dime a dozen. You're going to go through the day and you're going to see 100,000 things, you know, but until it actually goes into an innovation process, until, you know, we've got a system where we're taking these ideas and weighing these ideas and moving them through a series of steps to see, you know, how we can leverage these ideas. You know, we're basically just hallucinating. We're just walking around. Hey, you know, this sounds cool. Let's, you know, throw it at the wall and see if it sticks. And that's where a lot of businesses lose a lot of money. They lose a lot of energy, you know, just developing half-baked ideas and trying to throw them out to the marketplace and, you know, being frustrated or being disappointed when they don't do as well as they potentially could if they were fully developed innovations.
The sponsor of our show is a tech company. I'm curious to know your position on the role that technology plays in all of this. And I would like you to comment on the role that technology plays from two perspectives. One is in terms of just the standard run of the mill, how the operations side of it, is there technology that you can use to help you do that? And then I'm curious as to your take on how technology, the role that plays in fostering an innovative corporation.
Well, one thing that we have to do, what I try to think in terms of is, I see a lot of times where technology can become an obstacle in small businesses. You know, we go out and we get the latest, greatest, you know, software that everyone is talking about, and not necessarily thinking in terms of, you know, how the business is running and how we can leverage what we're doing already leverage the software to enhance what we're doing already. Software solutions are, the idea behind software solutions in small businesses, at least in my opinion, it has to do with has more to do with efficiency. You know, being able to do more with less, essentially. If you think about a customer relationship management system, CRM system, you know, what we're doing is we're taking sales from being on a tablet or on a piece of paper or on Excel sheet into an organized platform where we can, you know, look regularly and see, you know, where our prospects are in the sales pipeline. And we can also go back and we can, you know, look at old, customers or old relationships that we have and, you know, figure out how to leverage them. We can keep tabs on some of the key clients that we have through the system rather than just using it as a glorified contact list, if you will. In terms of operations, I really feel strongly that we want to look at the operations, look at the processes that we're developing and see, you know, where we can use software to leverage these rather than the opposite way, you know, okay, I'm going to get the latest, greatest and, you know, try to fit my business around it. Because at that point, you know, the software actually becomes an obstacle.
Sounds like what you're saying is that what's happening far too often is that a small business is buying the latest software solution and plugging and playing and saying, okay, well now I've got that done. Now I can go back to running the business. When they're still not doing the deep strategic thinking that's required or understand where the software actually impacts the business, right? I mean, they're still not doing they're still not establishing the processes or doing the strategic thinking to mm-hmm. really understand where the software can support that.
Exactly. Hmm. And that plays right into the innovation factor, because if you're thinking, you know, we were just talking about, you know, getting the latest grace. I mean, the latest grace is typically what everybody's already using. When we want to become innovative in the technology space, when we want to be able to leverage technology in innovation, what we want to be able to do is we want to be able to move further. We want to be able to, you know, create strategic advantage for our organization. Ideally, we'd love to do something in a completely different way, in a disruptive way that would change the way that people think about a certain way of doing things. If you think about the idea of, I guess, the iPhone or the iPad, you know, we're thinking in terms of, you know, being able to have, you know, everything in the world that we have on our computer inside of a phone, or, you know, going with the iPad, you know, looking at being able to access many things, you know, right through a small device. And both of these innovations, disruptive innovations, change the way that we think about phones, about computers, about mobility. And these are things that, you know, really set a new industry or really expanded, you know, a growing industry. So if we can take software in the same way and we can say, hey, you know what, we can, you know, leverage the software in such a way that we can serve our clients in a way that they've never been served before. You know, we are creating a innovation, even if it's a progressive innovation, even if it's something that is, you know, just doing it a little bit better or doing a lot better than other people are doing. It still becomes a great factor in helping us create strategic advantage in the marketplace, which is, you know, really what innovation is all about.
Rick, where do we go from here? What's the future of small business? Some would say there's never been a scarier time to be a small business person. What with all the uncertainty in the world and the economy still laboring and the uncertainty coming out of Washington. And then some would say there's never been a more exciting time to be a small business person, what with the access to technology and the ability to communicate with people around the world simply and easily. What's the Rick Meekins perspective on where small business goes from here?
You know, I'm kind of excited about it. You know, I mean, just like everything else, the small business community, the economy, it you know, goes through ebbs and flows. You know, it kind of goes back to the market at some point will reset itself. I think there is, you know, a lot of instability at this point, but there's, you know, given that there's a lot more access to information, given that there's a lot more education, I imagine there's a lot more education, at least available for small businesses than there was, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, you know, just by, you know, going to, you know, YouTube or something like that. I think that there's really going to be an evolution, if you will, of small businesses where, you know, at this point we see, you know, speaking optimistically, of course, but, you know, at this point, we see most small businesses, you know, 80% of small businesses, you know, just don't succeed, you know, up to, I guess it's about the 10-year time period. You know, would love to see that, you know, really drop a few points, you know, get down to 75%, because I think that where we see people are typically thinking in terms of being employed, we start to think in terms of, you know, how can we be independent? And how can we function in this economy, in this community, in a way that allows us to be somewhat independent. And then at the same time, we have larger organizations. We have people that are larger organizations and companies that are ready to embrace smaller businesses that may be a little bit more agile, that may let them be a little bit more agile. So, you know, as this new economy or this new way of thinking comes about, I think that there's going to be great, continued great opportunities for people that can think in terms of how they can be. I'm not going to use the term small business because, you know, it's a huge term, but, you know, thinking in terms of how they can be resourceful to leverage what they have individually or as a small group to, you know, create their own economy, if you will.
All right. Well, on that note, Rick, I hate to say we're out of time. Before I let you go, how can people get in touch with you and where can they learn more about Epiphany Business Consultants?
Surely. The easiest way to get in touch with me, you can email me at rick@epiphany.com. Epiphany spelled A-E-P-I-P-H-A-N-N-I. You can call me directly, 678-265-3908. I'm always happy to meet with you. We do free consultations. Give us a shout or shoot us an email.
Rick Meekins, a managing consultant with Epiphany Business Consultants. Rick, it was great to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Oh, it was great to be here. Thanks so much, Todd.
All right. Well, that wraps this episode. On behalf of my guest, Rick Meekins, I'm Todd Schnick. We'll see you soon in the Incubator.